it, make it, do it. Makes us older, better, faster, stronger. On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
Welcome to The Flame Show on a Sunday morning as we look at all things track and field right here on 1116 SEN. It's Melbourne's home of sport, and for the next 30 minutes, it's Melbourne's home of track and field, and it's just exciting times throughout Australia as we build up to Olympic trials, of course, the Sydney Grand Prix not too far away, or the Sydney Qantas Australian Athletics Tour meet, as it's now known, and then we build up towards the Melbourne meet as part of the Qantas Australian Athletics Tour. But most importantly, it is, of course, the Olympic trials. The latest news in, though, and it's disappointing news that Flame captain Steve Hooker will not compete for the remainder of the Qantas Australian Athletics Tour. It's a tough decision to make, but the reigning Olympic champion strongly believes it's the right decision to make as he maintains his goal of defending his crown in London, allowing him some time to regather his focus and work out some technical issues. Of course, we saw him compete in Adelaide. Hopefully you watched it on the Channel 9 coverage with the highlights package last Sunday at 1 p.m. And we saw there he was just competing off the 8-step run-up. Things weren't right, and he's decided rather than do that, he's got to get his head together and work on some technical and physical issues he's got to get right. So it is a brave decision, but it's one that everyone, I'm sure, in athletics respects, because, well, he's earned that right as the Olympic champion. What about the news that came through at the Laureus World Championships Awards? Now, Oscar Pretorius won the Amazing Disability Award, and he's just a freak, isn't he? The South African blade runner. But what about when they gave the Sportswoman of the Year Award to Vivian Cheruiyot? It was controversial, and the reason I say it's controversial, because the IAAF, the governing body of world athletics, gave the award to Sally Pearson as their sportsperson. Yet Laureus has announced that Vivian Cheruiyot is the Sportswoman of the Year. I'm sure there'll be many in Australia that have raised their eyebrow on that one. Women's indoor pole vaulting continues to be a standout event so far in 2012 overseas. This time, USA's Jennifer Suhr has cleared 4.88 meters on her first attempt in Boston. Set a new national record, meant she regained her number two spot on the all-time women's pole vault list. Also victorious in Boston was world 400-meter champion Karani James. What a talent that young man is. Can't wait to see him once he gets outdoors. Of course, if you're not following the world of track and field, all the Europeans and Americans, most of them are over competing on the indoor circuit at the moment. Can't wait for all those worlds to collide at the Olympic Games. Also, some news coming through that US sprint hurdler Nia Ali is currently in Australia. Her compatriot Lolo Jones, and we always love Lolo, is setting an early market indoors. The world indoor champion broke a 19-year meet record in Moscow, led home a trio of American hurdlers, which didn't include Kelly Wells, who's out for the remainder of the indoor season as she is injured. Of course, so much to catch on and chat up about in regards to Australian athletics. We'll do that when we catch up with one of the superstars of the sport in this country, Mitchell Watt, next. Mitchell Watt joins me, who's been kind enough to take our call. Of course, he captured the mainstream media's attention with his outstanding performances last year. Many in world of track and field, we already knew how good he was when he captured a world championship bronze medal in 2009. He followed that up in 2010 with a world indoor championship bronze medal. And then when he broke Jai Tarima's national record, or in fact it was an oceanic record, jumping 8.54 meters, getting silver at the World Championships as well in 2011, the Australian sporting public certainly knew all about Mitchell Watt, who's been kind enough to join us. Hi Mitch, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Mate, I am great, but I'm really keen to see how you're ready to go when we build up towards Sydney and then the Olympic trials. How do you put a percentage figure on your level of fitness at the moment?
I would say I'm above 90%. I'm still not doing quite as much training as I would like, but at the moment getting through quite a lot of volume of training, just the intensity isn't quite there yet. But since probably about the middle of to the end of November, things have been going really well, and yeah, just building up to the trials and after that, like you said.
Yeah, I suppose most of the Australian athletes that we've spoken to on the Flame Show here didn't have the long European season that you did. Of course, you competed nice and early. You were really good in Australia, and you took that form overseas, carried it all the way through to World Champs. So it was a long European campaign for you, an international campaign. I suppose as a result, you needed some time off, and that meant that your peak for the Australian season was just a little bit later?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I had a massive season last year and achieved quite a lot, but yeah, I was quite beat up and sore when I came back from Europe in September. So I had a nice few weeks off and yeah, just building up nice and slowly. And with the pre-selection for the Olympic team, it's really helped me out a lot. Obviously, I'm still trying to train as hard as I can and compete really well over the next month, but it's nice to have that pressure off just a tiny bit and, focus on the big one later in the year.
And it's a great thing that Athletics Australia does and through the Australian Olympic Committee is just to pre-select those athletes that are have earned the right, and Sally Pearson's one of those and you're another perfect example of it. And it just allows you to make sure that you concentrate on your peak, and your peak needs to be the Olympic Games. But you're going to compete in Sydney. Do you come down and compete at Melbourne as well and do the trials? Is that part of the selection process? You've actually got to go through the process?
If you have an injury exemption or something like that, you don't have to, but yeah, I'll definitely be jumping just to see where I'm at. My training won't change too much. Like, I'm not sort of, you know, gonna taper or anything like that for the trials, so I'm not really sure how I'm gonna jump, but yeah, it has been quite a while. My last jump was in September, so even though I haven't really been doing the training for it, I'm really looking forward to getting out there competing and catching up with the other athletes. And the trials should be a really good weekend. I really hope that there is going to be a lot of good performances and the team numbers is going to be high this year.
Were you surprised by the reaction? I could imagine the reaction was pretty amazing when you got back. You certainly captured the attention. You had a lot of media exposure here in Australia while you were competing overseas. Was that tangible for you when you got back? Did you notice a little spike in the amount of people who knew about what you were doing overseas?
Yeah, I was quite surprised, to be honest. You know, when we're in Daegu, we're quite sheltered from all the Australian media, obviously. And then when I got back, it was a lot different than a couple of years ago. Yeah, like, I think breaking Jai's record, like, a lot of people still remember Jai jumping in the Sydney Olympics. So they commented on that, and I think it was quite strange just sort of walking down the street and seeing a few friends and even strangers that knew about my Achilles injury in Daegu and things like that. So, yeah, it really sort of opened my eyes. And, it was really, really good that we got the media exposure that we did in Daegu.
How is the body, talking about the Achilles injury?
It's going well. Like I said, I was not in a good shape when I arrived back home in September. We sort of built up nice and slowly over the summer, and probably, I would say, the last 2-3 weeks, probably almost back to normal training. And, yeah, I really think that Achilles injury is behind me now. And, yeah, that's all behind me. But, yeah, I was pretty beat up towards the end of last year. And, yeah, like I said, just thankful that don't have the pressure on me for trials.
Just
next week.
Looking at that 8:54 jump, the obvious components that were really impressive, your speed on the runway, and your elevation, it was just magnificent. When you jump 8:54 and you get silver at a world championships level, but you're the sort of guy that's always looking to improve. What are the areas where you can improve?
I don't think it's so much in one area. I think, I had quite a well-rounded season last year. Like you said, my speed was good. My height was good. It's just probably sort of the little things, you know, getting a tiny bit stronger in the gym, getting a tiny bit faster on the runway, maybe getting a tiny bit higher when I take off. And I think if I just improve everything by, you know, 1 or 2%, then, my jump can hopefully go out even further.
And surely you can beat that old man Dwight Phillips. He's 105.
I know.
What a freak.
Since about 2008, he just continues to surprise. So, I don't want to say that he's not going to be in the mix this year, but I think he's turning either 33 or 34 this year. Who knows? But he's a great competitor and he's definitely in the back of my mind when I'm training.
There's a lot of young boys and girls who are listening to our Flame program, whether on podcast or listening to us here on 1116 SEN. And I often ask the question just so that they can sort of draw a parallel with their little lath's career or their career in athletics. Where did it all start for you and why the long jump?
When I was really young, sort of at the start of primary school and stuff like that, just at the school carnivals, the sports day and stuff like that, I was just basically did every event from shot put to 800 and long jump and things like that. And long jump was just sort of always the event that I progressed well at. Like, I went to districts and then regionals and states and things like that. And while the other events dropped off the 100 and the long jump were always the two events that I did really well at. And then, yeah, it's just sort of growing up. Little A's was awesome. Did that for quite a few years when I was younger. And I'm not sure what sort of changed my decision when I was older, but I think knowing the success that Australia has had in the long jump, we've had 3 Olympic silver medals, obviously the most recent with Jai Tarima. And then you sort of look at the 100 and it's dominated by Americans and Jamaicans, and it almost seems impossible to make a 100-metre final.
Yeah.
I sort of thought long jump would be a really good chance for me, and I really enjoyed it as well, and it just sort of went from there.
When you jumped 4 out of the 5 furthest jumps throughout the year of 2011, take us through the mind space when you got that Achilles injury and you got to World Championships and you got a silver medal. But I can remember seeing the pictures. It didn't look like a silver medal jumping up and down celebrating. It looked a pretty disappointed man.
Yeah, I was surprised that I was so disappointed. I didn't know that long jump really meant that much to me. And then, yeah, like you said, I had a really good European season. I won 3 Diamond Leagues leading into the World Champs and broke the Australian record. And yeah, it was just some really bad timing with my Achilles injury. Basically, as soon as I arrived in Daegu, struggled to get any training done, and yeah, was super disappointed on the night. But you know, now that I've come home and had some time to reflect, I think on one hand I was obviously very disappointed, but on the other hand I was also very lucky to be able to pick up a silver medal. You know, it was only 5 or 6 days out. I couldn't even get down the runway, so I think I'm sort of thanking my lucky stars that, yeah, I was able to come away with the silver, because I'm quite proud of myself for that now.
Well, so you should be, mate. And that's given you a little fire in the belly to get the job done in London, where we'll all be cheering you so hard. Can't wait to see you jump in Melbourne, also in Sydney. We'll be watching that, of course, on the Channel 9 coverage and hearing all the latest news right here on 11.16 SEN. Mitch, good luck for what's going to be a pretty short Australian season, but we'll be following your progress, no doubt, throughout your big build-up towards London.
No worries. Thanks for the chat.
Good on you. There is Mitchell Watt. We're going to take a quick break here on The Flame. We'll come back and tell you about all the international athletes that are coming out to Australia with Maurie Plant.
The Flame on 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. On 11.16 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
Welcome back to The Flame Show right here on 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport, Melbourne's home of track and field, for the next 10 minutes as we talk to Maurie Plant, of course, well known to everyone in Australian sporting landscape as the man that brings the international athletes out to Australia for the Australian Athletics Tour, which is this year sponsored by Qantas, and we thank them very much. And Maurie joins me now. Great to chat to you, Maurie. And as always, my friend, you've brought together a great list of athletes headlined by a world record holder in David Rudisha.
Yeah, very, very excited about the potential of the Sydney meet. That's going to be very, very good. Really looking forward to it. Rudisha, of course, a headline act anywhere, any stadium in the world. And we've got more supporting acts as well. All in all, looking forward to a fantastic afternoon of athletics in Sydney.
We talk about Rudisha, and for our Melbourne audience, they'll get a chance to see him race over 800 metres in Melbourne. He'll race 400 metres, I think the plan is, in Sydney, exactly what he's done the last couple of years. And anyone who hasn't been to see him, he is an unbelievable sight for an 800 metre runner.
Well, he's a tall man. He's got this enormous stride. He sort of takes a bit of time to get going, and then up the back straight in the 400 metres, he opens up this stride and he eats into the opposition with apparent ease. He loves coming to Australia. He believes it's essential for his Olympic preparation, and he wants to get his 400 metres time down to something that's even more competitive with the world's best 400 metre runners.
And it's something that you sold he and his manager on the concept a couple of years ago, and you must have been, you know, barracking hard for him to be successful, because those years since he started with the kicking off and doing as a training base here in Australia, his last 2 seasons have been extraordinary.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a tradition. If you go back to the sort of late 90s, we had a guy called Noah Nguyen who decided this was a very, very, very good place to train. And he liked coming to Australia. He came back here year after year. He based his training around here. And, of course, I guess that all came to fruition in the Sydney Olympics when he won the 1,500 metres, beating the great Hisham El Garouche, and might I add, beat him for the only time in his career in Sydney at the Olympic Games. Pretty big race to do it. The Kenyans talk amongst themselves. They know this is a good venue. Rhodesia's such a tall, strong man. He doesn't like to run on the tight indoor circuits, loves to be outdoors, loves to see how he's going, enjoys Australia, enjoys the company. And, of course, not only do we have Rhodesia coming, we also have one of the all-time greats now, Aspel Kiprop, the defending Olympic champion at 1,500 metres and also the world champion at 1,500 metres. The last couple of years, Aspel has come with, not with David Rhodesia, but they're very close. They know each other very well. They're neighbours in Kenya. He's also decided this is the way he wants to prepare, and it's very essential for him that he came to Australia. So he's going to be lining up in Sydney in the 800 metres. He'll run the 800 metres against young Lachlan Renshaw.
Yep.
And I probably think that Jeff Risley will be also going in the 800 metres. Great opportunity for Australia's up-and-coming runners to not only race against some of the best in the world, but indeed achieve that Olympic A qualification.
And the beauty of Kiprock coming to Melbourne, I don't know if you've locked him in to run the 1,500 metres, but if you could and get Gregson and Risley, who we saw really duke it out. It wasn't a good time in Adelaide because it was blustery conditions and it was a tactical race, but it was good to see those two just doing exactly that, Maury, racing.
Well, that's very important, and you've read my mind, and that's the way it's going to happen. Kiprock will run the 1,500 metres in Melbourne, but 800 metres in Sydney. I mean, people fail to remember, this guy's run 143 flat at 800 metres. He is one of the best in the world. He's a tall, elegant runner, and 800, 1,500, and he showed that he's in remarkable form just prior to Christmas. He won a big cross-country race in Europe, in Inver, I believe it was, in the cold conditions up there, but he beat some of the best 5,000 metre runners in the world, including the legendary Kenenisa Bekele from Ethiopia. So Kiprop comes in great form. Rhodesia's always in good form. And what a sight that's going to be for the fans in Sydney.
Well, Sally Pearson's the headline act, isn't she? And she's unbelievable. I just read out some results from overseas and I saw that Lolo Jones is probably doing what Lolo tends to do and blitz early and run really fast in the indoors. But she's got maybe a slight question mark on her temperament when it counts absolutely at the most at the Olympic Games. But she's not coming out. But Nia Ali's coming out, a US hurdler, who's going to give Sally something to think about.
Well, Nia Ali's a very competent hurdler. She's ranked number 7 in the world. And to do that, you've got to be very good. And let me tell you this, that at the last year's American trials, it was none other than Nia Ali who ran out Lolo Jones in the semi-finals of their trials. So effectively, Nia Ali put Lolo Jones away in the US trials, and Lolo Jones couldn't qualify for anything more than that. So it was goodbye from her, and welcome to the big time for Nia Ali. She's continued that on. Part of her preparation, she believes, that needs the experience, racing against the best. If you want to be the best, you've got to race the best. So she's come here, and she will race Sally.
She'll race Sally. We'll get to see that in Sydney. We'll get to see that in Melbourne. And I'll tell you what, from what we saw in Adelaide, we saw a glimpse of how fast Sally can be. And once she's got that speed up, what time she could possibly run over the hurdles when it comes to peaking in London is unbelievable.
Look, she's getting very ready. As you see, she's got blinding short speed. And I believe that we really won't see the best of Sally sprinting-wise until she gets the best conditions at 200 metres. I think her 200 metres are potentially better than 100 metres. I think she's a better balanced runner at 200 metres. She can really use her acceleration on the bend, and she can really, really, really put it in down the straight. I wouldn't be surprised when the conditions are right to see Sally run well under 23 seconds in 200 metres.
Yeah, well, that Adelaide performance was legitimate sub 23. Anyway, you look at it without the 3.6 metre per second headwind that she had there.
That's not a headwind. That's a wall.
That's a wall. You're right. And she ran into the wall. Talk about the wall. There's a couple of blokes that are out here actually, I can add a female in without being disrespectful, that are built like brick walls, because you brought out some big, strong throwers.
Yeah, there's a very, very good male thrower out here, a guy called Russ Winger. Now, Russ is not only a very good discus thrower, he's also a very good shot putter. He comes from Idaho in USA. He's a big fella. He's thrown over 21 metres in shot put. He's thrown over 66 metres in discus. And he's proving to be a great competitor for Benny Harradine, our number one discus thrower, and, of course, Dale Stevenson in shot put. He's undefeated in his Australian tour. The pressure's going to come on the next couple of weeks because Harradine, Stevenson, they're going to be ready, but we'll just see how they can stack up against this big guy. And he does look like a big guy from America too. You know, he's a big, strong guy. He's got the big beard working. You know, he looks like a real woodsman, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All right, I'll say it. Hillbilly.
He does look like a big wood chopper, doesn't he? He's he'll get the job done. Tell us, Danny Samuels, another one of our world champions. Unfortunately, had a disappointing year last year. She's going to need to be at her best. Stephanie Brown-Trafton, Olympic discus champion, is here.
Yes, Steph Brown just arrived in Perth, and she's going to be really ready for Sydney, of course. And not only that, we've got another lady from America called Aretha Thurmond, who number 6 or 7 ranked in the world. That's very, very good competition for Danny. I'm not so worried about Danny. I think last year was just a passing phase. Her focus, ever since she was the world champ in 2009, has had to be the London Olympics. She's getting ready mentally and physically for that, and she will be ready on the day in London. And I believe this is a very, very, very good stepping stone for her.
Yeah, I concur. Any other athletes of note that you'd like to make mention of just as we leave you, mate? Because it's a star-studded lineup you've got already.
Well, look, there's some very good other athletes going. We've got a young man, of course, running the 400 metres as well as Rhodesia, a guy called Greg Nixon from the USA, who's a sub-45 performer. We've got a bundle of good 400 metre runners. You know, the likes of Steve Solomon, Johnny Stephenson, Sean Rowe, the Victorian boy. These guys are all ready. They're all ready to go. We're going to provide them with the competition. It's up to them to put their mark on the track. I'm certain they will. And I'm certain that Sydney's always been a very, very good place to run fast 400 metres. And I think up there, these guys will really stake their claim for a spot, individual spot in the Olympic team. And, of course, that backup of that 4x4 100 metres relay, which we've always been so good at in Australia.
Well, you've set the scene beautifully, Murray. Congratulations on the lineup you've put together. The Qantas Australian Athletics Tour heads to Sydney next Saturday. All the stars that Murray has just outlined will be there, plus many, many more. It's going to be fantastic. And also, if you miss the live streaming for the Go for 2 and 5 Perth Track Classic last night, you can catch all the highlights on the Nine Network this afternoon at 1 p.m. or else 6 p.m. on Fox Sports 2, which is fantastic for the sport. Also, just quickly, you need to add in that it was a great weekend for Colas Birmingham last weekend when he got a second Olympic qualifying mark in Hobart for the 5,000 metres. So that's great news. Murray, as always, thanks for your time and good luck towards some big meets both in Sydney and Melbourne.
Richo, it's always a pleasure speaking to a man of your own cultural intelligence and breeding. Mate, thanks very much for your time and looking forward to hearing a little bit more from you on SEN.
Oh, you're a superstar. There is Murray Plant. That wraps up the show here on The Flame. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Can't wait to join you next week when we sum up what is going to be a massive meeting up in Sydney.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sports.